Blog Talk Radio.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me seems to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next obstacle because the connection will be strengthened by the experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. My commitment to us is deeper than I ever conceived it could be between a man and a woman. I never dreamed that my belief in the Lord's word would manifest itself in this fashion. I live to put into words what being one with you does to my spirit. I look forward to loving you in a way not known to either of us. Have I ever known love like this? I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I have never loved like this before. I refuse to allow it to disappear as those in the past. You are my treasure that I've searched for most of my adult life. It would be crazy to let the daily distractions of living dismantle what I have discovered. I will not look back, but embrace the new love created by our connection. I've never known love like this. Never known love like this. I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this.
Welcome, everyone. This is James Deshaies, your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And once again, I am so happy and pleased to be here with you on this Saturday. And I want to take the time out to talk to you about some things. You know, I had a direction I wanted to go in, to just be honest with you. And you know that most of the time I send out to everybody what it is that I'm going to talk about. But I watch the news and everything so much that sometimes I have to be flexible. I have to be prepared and willing to kind of redirect my focus. I've been doing this for over a year, and I just want to tell you I am totally committed to bringing the type of shows to you that makes you think, gives you an opportunity to really engage yourself in what's going on in our world. And we just have to be, I want you to be honest when you come on my show. And I want to be honest with you. And so I'm going to talk to you about some things before I get deep into something I want to talk about. And I'm not sure how long it'll take for me to get completely through the show and this and get on to what it is I originally wanted to talk to you about. But I hope you understand my reason for going off track for a minute and just reflect on where we are as a country and as a nation so that we can get some things accomplished and get some things back in order. First and foremost, I want to say to you that I am proud to be a lot of things. You know, I'm not a one-dimensional person. There's a lot of pride in my life about a whole lot of things that I encompass as an individual. I am proud to be an American. I mean, I would have not wanted to be born in any other place than the place I'm born now. Now, some people might have issues with that. You know, I'm an African-American, and some people may have issues with me saying I wouldn't have wanted to be born any other place than where I've been born. But understand that means that a lot of people had to go through a lot of hardship for me to be born in America, and I understand that too. And so what that means to me is that I have to work very hard and diligently to make something out of my life so that those people's sacrifices are not for nothing. And so, again, I'm very proud to be American. I'm very proud to be an African-American, too. And I want America to work for me. I want it to work for Latin Americans. I want it to work for women. I want it to work for whites. I want America and the American dream to work for everybody. So I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to fight for the principles I think the Constitution stands for. And that doesn't mean that I'm against anybody, because I'm actually for everybody. I want the whole system to work together for good. But there are times when the system is not working. And right now I feel like we, the internet and all the power that we have to look at the world in an instant gives us information that let us know that the system is not working. There are people in the system who take their jobs too personal, and they use the power of their job to inflict pain on people who've not done anything wrong. So I'm coming to you this evening to talk to you about a couple of stories that I found, two stories that I found, and then we'll go on to what I originally planned to talk about. But I just had to speak on this because I know that there are a lot of people out there, as soon as you start talking against a segment of the system, they're going to say to you that you hate the system, and if you don't like America, then, you know, you need to go somewhere else. That has nothing to do with it. Being a proud American means that you fight for the rights of everyone, and you fight for the right for the system to work the way it's supposed to work. So I'm saying to you that James Deshaies believes in the system. I want to work within the system to make the system right so that the system treats everyone justifiable. And so I want to say to you, I spent 7 years on the Orlando Police Police Review Board to make Orlando and the police department a better place, not because I wanted to tear it down. I wanted to make it a better place. And I'm going to tell you that Orlando is in a rough situation right now. And just like many of the police departments around the country, Orlando has its issues. So I want to just share some things with you. Recently in Orlando, a gentleman had to have his spleen removed because he was handcuffed and an officer kicked him. Normally, when you sue governmental agencies, there's a cap on the amount of money that you can get for suing them. In Florida, there's a $200,000 cap, unless there's some circumstances that will make them go over that. Well, we've had an influx of issues with our police department where a lot of people have been violently treated, so much to the point that we are now in a situation where people are getting judgments that are a lot greater than $200,000. We had a young, an older gentleman who was in his 70s or later who got beat up so badly by a police officer that he was given a lot more than $200,000, and because he nearly died as a result. And the issue was where he parked his car. So you have situations where these minor offenses are being taken to a large situation or a maximum situation where some of these people are near death because of what these police officers are doing. And we have to address how, as a nation, do we want to be policed? And that doesn't mean you're un-American. That doesn't mean you don't support the police. But those bad police officers who are doing atrocious things need to be addressed so that they understand, how to appropriately treat the community, the taxpayer. We're not talking about criminals. So I just want to share with you that this happened in all over the country, and the story I'm going to share with you didn't happen in Orlando, but it very well could have happened in Orlando, because there's some things happening in Orlando that are so bad that we have people getting $800,000 judgment. And as taxpayers, we ought to be enraged that our tax dollars are going to pay off people because of the actions of these bad police officers. And there's nothing un-American with screaming and hollering about your tax dollars going to pay off a lawsuit because a police officer does not know how to behave appropriately. It's ridiculous, and we got to stand up and give account for it. We have people going to jail for nonsense, for minor offenses, who are being beaten up for minor offenses and ended up suing for large amounts of money that could be going toward doing positive things in our community. So we have to stand up and tell the police how we want to be policed, what things we will not tolerate from them, because some of them are running around here like they're armies, like they're armed forces, and they can do whatever they want to, and nobody's going to say anything about it. So we as citizens, we're the ones in charge of our police. Indirectly, we're in charge of the police because we hire the mayor. The mayor hires the police chief. The police chief hires the policeman, and he's in charge of them. So we have to use our power to address the way these policemen do their jobs. And we cannot allow them just run around treating citizens inappropriately. And when I tell you this story, this is a story that could happen anywhere. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that I've learned over the years. I spent 7 years, again, on the police review board. 2 of those years as chairman of the board. I spent nearly 10 years at the jail, Orange County Jail, helping inmates get their GED. So there's some things I learned in my capacity to do that. And so I'm just enraged about some of the things that happened. So what I want to tell you, these are recent things. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the story. The NYPD, again, you know, New York Police Department, they are being, the people who are out on the street, for whatever reason, have somehow been sent a message that they can do anything and they don't have to worry about it. And again, it's just not in New York. It's in Orlando, too. We have some issues in Orlando that need to be addressed, because we got police officers who are costing taxpayers too much money. And across the country, this is happening. So here again, we have 4 police officers in an unmarked car who are undercover doing whatever it is they're doing. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but certainly they must be doing something that is important, that they're in an unmarked car and they're riding around the city trying to address crime. So at some point, they come by and they almost hit a postal worker who's walking across the street. Now, it's normal when you almost get hit by a car, even if it's your fault. Come on, guys, let's think about it. We're talking about a simple situation, how people react to a simple situation. Here, a postal worker is walking across the street to deliver a package. A car drives by that almost hits him. So he becomes irate. He says a few statements. And then he goes on about his business. That's normal. Nothing in that is criminal yet. He goes on across the street. These police officers back up, tell this man he's under arrest. He's under arrest for, I'm assuming, disorderly conduct, because he yelled something at them while they were riding by when they almost hit him with a car. Then when he refuses or gives some resistance to them arresting him, they finally get the cuffs on him and they arrest him for resisting arrest. And see, this is going on across the country. This is nothing new. This is the same kind of thing these people are being taught, that you can arrest somebody for resisting arrest without what you're arresting them for being lawful, or they didn't break any law to resist arrest, but just because you told them they were under arrest and they resisted, they cannot be charged with resisting arrest. So anyway, they arrest this guy, and thank God he was willing to allow them to put the handcuffs on him, and they didn't give him a beat down. So now here you got a man who may have screamed at the police for nearly hitting him, get arrested. They search him, put him in the back of a car, leave the truck, the federal truck, unattended, with mail in the truck with nobody there. They put him in the car and they teasing him to the point that here you got police officers who run in the back of another citizen, hurting the man because they didn't, in the back, they just put the post office worker in the back, didn't put him properly in the seat, so now he hurts his shoulder. And guys, I'm sitting here wondering, how in the world do these men, and see, they have to believe that they're above the law, because they're arresting a citizen, a man who just doing his job. He got a decent job. He's a regular Joe Blow citizen. He's just trying to make a living, and you arrest him on some bogus charge. And this is going across America. These men are doing these kind of unlawful things and not being treated accordingly. At 33rd Street Jail, they call it, when a police officer does this kind of thing, you might beat the charge, but you ain't going to beat the ride. And what that means is, if you don't have any money to get out of jail, you're going to spend 60 days or more in jail, or whatever time you have to spend in jail, and then they drop the charge, and you still spent time in jail. So here it is, you got this Joe Blow citizen who has never committed any crimes, yells something at an unmarked car, and gets arrested for disorderly conduct. Is this the way we want our citizens to be treated by the police? going around just doing all kind of silly arrests just to prove a point that they're strong, that they're in charge, and they can do whatever they want to. He goes down to the department, is given a summons for disorderly conduct, and the incident is being reviewed. Why is there a review need to be necessary? These policemen acted out of order, and that's the problem. If you don't address what they did in a strong fashion, you're going to continue to have police officers doing this kind of foolishness. This man has never been in trouble. It's just craziness. And as you know, we keep going on. We have to remember, as it stands right now, we have more people in jail than any large country in the world. We imprison more people in jail than any other country in the world. And that's because we have police officers who running around thinking that they all gangsters. Another situation took place where a man got arrested because there was a warrant for his arrest because he didn't return a videotape. The company that he didn't return the videotape is out of business. The man was taking his daughter to school, stopped for a brake light, and told there was a warrant out for his arrest for a videotape that he didn't return more than 10 years prior. What in the world is going on in our country that we're doing this kind of foolishness? Disrupting people's lives as though handcuffing them and taking them off the jail ain't no big deal. Both of these men were able to get out, but the point is the time wasted for this foolishness and this behavior of these officers. That is why you have people in an uproar about Black Lives Matter along with the deaths. Thank God this postal worker didn't go ballistic and get hurt, because they would have been willing to hurt him for screaming at them for almost hitting him. Guys, we got to ask ourselves what's going on. We have to retrain. We have to demand that our officers be retrained. We have to demand that they be given specific instructions in regarding how to deal with non-criminal behavior, that you can't treat all citizens the same for every little incident. Things are getting out of control and getting out of control fast. And we have to be strong enough, focused enough, and serious enough to say that we're going to demand a change and not just live with this. And I'm sitting here telling you, this is from New York to Orlando to Los Angeles. All the departments all across the country have these people who think they just can do anything they want to without any regard to how people are to be treated. And we're talking about innocent people. We're not talking about no drug dealers. When I first read the story, I thought maybe, oh, God, here we got another professional dude who's going to lose his job because he's selling drugs on the side, selling drugs out of a truck. And then I read on to find out that he just almost got hit by these police officers, and he screamed something, and they were ready to take him to jail for yelling at them for almost hitting him. What in the world is going on, people? What in the world is going on? The citizens of America need to band together. It's not about me hating America. It's about us doing and living by the Constitution of America, making sure the Constitution works for everybody, not a select few. And then our policemen police us the way we demand to be policed. this is getting out of hand and ridiculous. And I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back. And to continue, we'll go on with some of the other stories I want to talk about this evening. But I just wanted to tell you, hey, that just fired me up, and I just had to talk about it today. And I want you to go research it. Google postal worker gets arrested by four undercover New York police officers. Google that and read the story. And we need to talk about what in the world is going on. Also, Google the story about man gets arrested for not returning a videotape of a company that's been out of our business for 10 years. Google that as well. This is crazy. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back to talk and discuss some of the other stories going on across the country. And you know what it is your ideas are. I don't want to talk the whole entire time, but we got a lot to talk about, America. We got a lot to talk about. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here for you. Voice your concerns and allow it to use this as a vehicle to have your voice be heard. I'll be back with you.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Hello, I am Princess Cooper with the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and you're listening to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections with host James Deshay right here every Saturday at 8 p.m. Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
All right. Now I got that off my chest. We're going to move on. I got a lot of things on the table today. And we're just going to keep on talking about some things. And I just want to keep saying to you that times when I have to just run my mouth and just keep talking, and I want the audience to know that these things that I talk about are things that I deeply feel some kind of connection to. And I just need for there to be an opportunity for someone like myself and someone like you guys to have a vehicle to run our mouth about to show so that our voices can be heard, because we have to say something. We got to speak up, you know, because too often we rely on our leadership and those people we elect and those people who have prominent jobs to say, you know, say what's on America's mind. So I'm going to tell you guys, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. I accept being a liberal. But there's some things that I'm conservative about, but I have to go along with the liberal agenda because I think it's the right thing to do. You know, I hate the thought that a lot of children are being sacrificed and that abortions are used in some instances like this, like birth control. Well, I have to go along with that because I believe that a woman has the right to make that choice. You know, you're in a situation where she's the one that has to carry that baby for 9 months. So though I would like the baby to live, I understand why she has the right to make that decision, and I support that. I understand that across the country, we have a lot of people who smoke a lot of marijuana. And I'm against drugs. So I don't want to see marijuana become legal. But it's being legal in a lot of places. And a lot of people are going to jail unnecessarily for a drug that people say is not that bad. And I understand that. So, you know, I have this issue going back and forth, you know, with whether or not it should be legal or it shouldn't be legal. I'm not a drug user. I don't drink a lot. So I'm against allowing a lot of drugs to become legal just because people just can't stop using them. But at the same time, I don't want to see people go to jail for small amounts of drugs. And if we legalize it, maybe that'll be a segment of society that we keep from going to jail. You may say that's a liberal position, and so I accept that. But, again, there are times when I'm conservative. I have some conservative thoughts. Now we have a situation after a lot of people have gained a certain amount of rights because of the system going through the process, and now we have gay marriages. I accept it. I don't believe in it, but I accept it, and I understand it. And I'm willing to go by the law and not refute it, not fight it. But now we have a situation where a state of Georgia wants to put a law on the books that helped to protect Christians and other people who wanted to deny service to gays in certain situations. And this law is to protect the rights of these, protect religious rights of people so they're not forced to do things that are against their religious beliefs. I'm saying, wait a minute. Everybody has the right to have rights and have beliefs, and I'm not sure I understand that. And I'm sitting here saying, now he's almost being the governor, and Georgia is nearly being blackmailed to say, no, if you implement that law, we're going to take these monies from you. And that seems a little unfair. You mean to me that I can be a minister could be prosecuted for refusing to perform a marriage that he doesn't believe in? How is that freedom of religion? If you can force me to form a marriage that I think is wrong, and you're gonna make me perform it anyway because the people getting married have the right to be married. They do have the right to be married, but not by me. If I'm that minister, they're looking to look for someone else who's willing to do that. A company that may not want to be involved in a marriage where they have to make the cake of two people who are same sex. How can you force companies to go against their religious beliefs? Now, we got to be honest about this thing. You know, there's one thing when we're talking about the civil rights of people who want to walk into a restaurant and be served. You know, I mean, I don't know of any religion that says, I can't serve you because of the color of your skin. I mean, I've never seen a religion like that. I have never seen a religion that has written into their laws that they can't serve people of different skin colors. But we have to understand that the Bible was written years and years ago, talks about, you know, talks against same-sex marriage. So I'm not sure I understand why everybody's in an uproar about protecting people's right to not participate in things that go against their religious beliefs. I'm afraid I support the governor's right to sign it. Now, whether or not he's strong enough to sign it, I don't know, because I know that people are very concerned about the loss of income that might possibly happen if he signs it. But I just don't believe it's fair for people to be subjected to being made to do things that are against their religious beliefs. There are a number of states across the country who've enacted this law, that type of law, to protect religious individuals who don't want to be a part of that kind of liberal activity. And again, I'm accepting being a liberal, but there's some things that I'm not liberal about. And I think we have to be able to do right by all the people. The rights can't just be given to one segment of the population while denying rights to the other part of the population. There's something wrong with that. One of the examples talked about in Georgia was a gentleman said, okay, I want to run a business where I help people to adopt children. A legitimate business. He wants to get involved in a business that helps to find homes for children who parents want to give them up, freely give them up. But he wants to be able to do it with people in a religious atmosphere. He wants to do it with Christian people. So now you're going to tell him he can't have a business that caters to Christian couples, that if a couple come and they're the same-sex couple, he has to give them the same service when he wants. We talk about business being able to focus their business or brand their business on a group. So somehow you're going to say this is a protected group, same-sex group is a protected group, and you're going to mandate that he service them as well as service Christian families? There's something wrong with that. I don't go along with that. I mean, you know, again, I'm a liberal, I'm a Democrat, but this is one of those times where I'm going to stand against what might be perceived as a liberal agenda or Democratic agenda and say that we're wrong, we can't do that, we can't go in that direction. There's something wrong with that. And again, it doesn't mean that I am against anyone. I'm not a racist. I don't have any agenda to deny anyone their rights. But we have to have the right to stand up and say what it is in our hearts without being condemned as being racist or being homophobic. Come on, guys. We lines have to be drawn, and we have to determine what line has to be drawn for what situation, so that we are all treated fairly. So I'm just asking you guys. Hey, listen. You know what it is you think about this? This is just. It seems like we're being run over by some of these liberal agendas that are going too far. And again, I'm a Democrat and I'm a liberal, but there is something called too far. And I think we're heading in that direction. We have to allow people the right to control the destiny of their beliefs. And there is a way to work this out so that you don't trample over the rights of Christians, over the rights of Jews, over the rights of Muslims. We all have religious rights and beliefs that have to be respected. So I just hope the governor of Georgia has the strength to do what he thinks is right and not be brought, not to deny the law just because of money. I hope that's the case. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back with our final story. I mean, there is so much to talk about. I wish there were somebody out there who wanted to talk about these things and give me their opinion, if they're in agreement with me or in disagreement with me. But let's see, that it seems like everybody's busy, but, hey, we got a lot to talk about, guys. A lot to talk about. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with you to finish out the show.
Hi, I am Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and we would like to welcome the following shows. Teen Talk Radio with Minister Clarence Arad in Columbia, South Carolina. Been There, Done That with Cindy Smith in Atlanta, Georgia. Recovery Just for Today with Lloyd Jr. and Lloyd Sr. in Atlanta, Georgia. Chef Shack Live with Chicafrica Simmons in Tallahassee, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. It's a Way Out, hosted by Marlon Reed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Wake Up Call, hosted by Pastor Annie Sally, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Spiritually Reincarnated with host Gilbert Sines from Orlando, Florida. Breaking the Silence, the dialogue about mental health with Don E. Miller from Atlanta, Georgia. And Regina's World with Regina E. Williams, live from Columbia, South Carolina. We are a better network for having them aboard.
All right, looks like you all want me to be on my, I don't mind sometimes being on the top, my soapboxes, and allowed to just talk the whole hour to myself. And because these were some important issues and things that we need to discuss. So maybe during the week we'll take them apart and have an opportunity to discuss them with the audience. You all come back and say, hey, Mr. Deshay, we want to talk about one of the things we heard about you talked on Saturday. And that's fine. I want you to always know that you have the ability to alter the direction of the show when we want to discuss some important business. And I just find, I believe these are some important issues. Okay, now I'm going to go and talk about one of the issues I want to talk about this evening. And definitely this is one of those issues that we can extend to another show. Do Americans truly spend a lot of time thinking about being attacked by terrorists? Here again, you know, I'm constantly hearing, I watch news all day, every day, and I'm constantly hearing how afraid America is of being attacked. You know, we've been going through this a long, long time. Terrorists have not just gotten on the scene. You know, there have been a lot of terrorists things being happening around the country for tens of years. And I just want to go on record as saying, I don't wake up in the morning worried about a terrorist attack. I do not wake up in the morning worrying about, oh, if I go to the bank or if I go to a concert or if I go to a football game, if I go to the airport, none of that. Okay? And so I'm just concerned about there is a segment of our society that gets all bogged up in what the media plays and tells them that they should be afraid of. Now, I think it's a horrific thing when these terrorists blow up a airport or go into a business and gun down their employees. I think that's an awful thing, and but death has always been a part of life. And as horrific as ISIS is, there are things that are a lot closer to my home that scare me than ISIS. ISIS is an ocean away. What I'm afraid of is every morning when I wake up and I hear about home invasions, robberies, innocent people getting murdered at a party. Here in Orlando, that happens on a daily basis. And I live my life trying to make sure that I avoid places that have a lot of violence in Orlando and don't get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time But that don't have anything to do with ISIS. So I know that there are a lot of people who are like me in their individual cities that are concerned about local crime and local murders than they'll ever be afraid of terrorists. So I really think we need to be to get on board and stop, you know, trying to scare Americans with this thought about, hey, 9/11 was an awful thing. My God, it was awful. The fact that these people were able to board these planes and kill all these people, and that, okay, that happened. But we moved on. And we've gotten our lives back. And we have to continue to get our lives back when evil people do evil things. We cannot be stuck on it. Because let me tell you, when we get rid of ISIS, there's going to be another group right behind them. They're not going to stop thinking like that just because you got rid of one group. Because you get rid of one leader or one anything, they're going to be evil is always going to be amongst us. But we have to pick what is our concern. And what I'd rather my local government be concerned about is local crime. And I'm sure that is the case across America, that we need to be concerned about local crime that kills a lot more people every year than terrorism does. So we just need to be real about what it is that we're afraid of. I'm afraid of drugs going unchecked. I'm afraid these drug dealers going around here killing innocent kids in these drive-by shootings. I'm a lot more afraid of that than I am of ISIS. I'm a lot more afraid of that than I am of immigrants coming into the country, making an honest living and making us a better society. I am not afraid of Muslims because I know for the most part, the majority of Muslims are good, decent, hardworking people. And I'm not going to allow people to change my thoughts on a whole vast group of people just because of the evils of a certain group, of a certain segment. So I need you to understand that I will not, as much as I watch the news, I am selective about what is I allow them to sink into my head. And I want you to know that. I see we have a caller, and I don't want to take up the whole hour if there's somebody out there who'd like to share something with us this evening. 7861, 7861, are you out there?
I'm here.
All right. I've been carrying on for a while, so you can talk about whatever you like. And the last thing I was talking about here this evening was they want us to be so afraid of ISIS, and so we don't have any domestic issues that we need to be more concerned about that are killing us every day.
Well, I think it's a tried and true tactic that they're doing. And, prior to 9/11, we really didn't worry about the outside terrorism. I remember being a little boy and watching everything was happening with the IRA in Beirut and even Israel. You know, all those things happened. And until Oklahoma City and definitely until 9/11, we weren't worrying about that stuff touching us on our home soil. And even still, outside of those things, we are relatively safe, comparatively speaking. But for them to carry on the way they've carried on these last few days, you would think that what happened in Brussels happened in the United States. You would think that that we should be afraid to walk out the house. And you know, we have to keep living. And we have to make the person or people that are responsible stay responsible, because I heard you talk about Muslims. See, the trick they're doing is, let's say these people are Muslims. Those people are not Muslims. Those people come from a region where there are lots of Muslims, but those people aren't Muslims, and they want you to persecute Muslims so they can then say, see, look what they're doing. This is why we're doing what we're doing. So they're trying to take your eye off the ball and get you all in a frenzy about the wrong thing instead of keeping your eye where it should belong, like you were saying a little while ago.
And it's crazy because they want to justify acting in inhumane ways. Here you got Donald Trump talking about waterboarding, and then even going further than that, talking about threatening people's families and all kind of foolishness, changing the rules so that it'll give you the right to act in an inhumane fashion. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it's lunacy to want to even go in that direction.
Well, you know, it's scary, too, because, see, when he sounds like that, then he sounds like they do, and we're supposed to be America, civilized society. We don't do the things that these other people do around the world. That's why you have what we call cruel and unusual punishment. We don't do that. Our court system won't allow it. It's constitutionally protected against cruel and unusual punishment, yet he sounds like people from other countries and third world countries and countries who are not supposed to be civilized. And what he's doing, he has a bullhorn to the rest of the world and say, hey, we're going to be just like everybody else. We're just going to make everybody else say, look at America the bully. That's why all these things are happening to them. And we want to do these things to them. And so it kind of makes the ends justify the means if it does happen. But it's going to happen because of as a direct result of his foolishness. And he's leading a charge to make people hate America because he wants us to do things that we don't do. We are supposed to be the standard bearer. We're supposed to show you how it's done. And we cannot fall to their tactics. It doesn't prove anything. Our way has been the light of the world. We have been. And with him, he wants to set us back 100 or so years.
And see, people don't believe and understand right now, if you allow him to do that to them, that same stuff is going to seep into our justice system, and you'll be waterboarding our criminals to make confessions. See, that's what I'm saying. See, this stuff is too closely related. When they talk about sliding down a slippery slope, when you do it to them, you'll find out a reason to do it to us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
so
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You have to protect yourself because if you don't watch it, it'll seep right into your society. You think about how the stuff they used to give to the military, then all of a sudden they seep and ease that stuff right into the police department. You know, now the police want to have military guns and military tanks and all that stuff because they're
to deal with civilians.
You don't watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that slippery slope because like you say, our founding fathers believe when you start with relinquishing your small rights, you allow the government to come in and do stuff that the country was set up to fight against. And so once you let, like you say, you give it an inch, they're going to take a mile. And before you know it, all these things that have been illegal and are constitutionally banned will be a part of their routine practice. I agree with you.
And it's crazy. You see it. You know, earlier today I was talking about, how we have to control where we are being policed. And if we don't demand that we be policed in a right fashion, then these police officers will continue to do this because they think they got a right to do it. They think they'll be empowered to do it. You know, and so you see all these stories across the country where these police officers are doing these horrific things because they believe that it's okay to do it because you're not punishing them.
Did you mention the story about the mailman in New York?
Yeah, I couldn't believe
it.
That was the one I couldn't believe. Hear a man crossing the street and you almost hit him, and it's almost automatic for me to yell out and say, I don't know what he said, but it would have been normal. And then you arrest him and leave the mail. I mean, you have no regard for people's mail. You have no regard for – you just throw people in jail for any old thing.
But it's not illegal. Even if they had their uniform and were walking down the street, it's not illegal for you to say something to the police. It's just not. So their justification for arresting him for disorderly conduct, they can arrest people for disorderly conduct anytime they feel like it at that regard. So, you know, that's just such a bogus charge. But if you can't say stuff, you know, you talk about the First Amendment and freedom of speech, my goodness, the fabric of our country, my goodness.
Well, what I learned when I was on the police review board, you cannot breach the peace of a police officer. So you can scream and cuss him out. That is not a reason for him to arrest you. But like you say, what they do is the minute somebody pays attention, then they can say, oh, disorderly conduct, because now you're inciting a riot.
Well, you know, if that's the case, again, and it's you know, the it's been litigated before our courts about disorderly conduct and the kind of charge that it is, and people have won time and time again against disorderly conduct charges because it's kind of like a standard thing that they can just charge you with, and then you got to fight and you got to get out of it. Meanwhile, they have inconvenienced you, and so again, it's when you say, "Oh, you did this." Yeah. So you lose in the end, even if you win, because they have inconvenienced you, may even lose your job.
Right. Well, listen, man, you came in too late, boy. We could have been talking about this a whole hour, man. I got to get you in here on time, because I tell
right.
you, we got so much to talk about. It's so much, but I want you to know that we're on three times a week now, Saturday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and we just got so much to talk about and so much to do, and we're 3 minutes out, and I want to just thank you for coming on and sharing your opinion and getting me off my soapbox. But I'm glad to hear that you heard about that story in New York, because we got to talk about that some more.
All right. I get what you're doing the week coming.
All right. Take care now.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Hey, we at the end of the hour, and I got to let you go, but I hate to let you go because there is so much to talk about. Our world is going crazy, and we have to be engaged and participate and work to change the system from the inside. And it does not mean that you are not a lover of America because you want the system to be changed. So I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve as the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care, and I will talk to you on Tuesday at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, another show, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Take care and goodbye.
In the past, my life has been inundated by those who truly didn't understand the term commitment. The connections would flourish and become entangled by daily life experiences. Quickly, that which seemed so promising turned barren. What has recently appeared before me seems to break all the rules of the past. I find myself waiting to overcome the next obstacle, because the connection will be strengthened by the experience. You have created a love within me which was unforeseeable. I've never known love like this. I've never known love like this. My commitment to us is deeper.